Now, this is one of the most amazing prophecies of Jesus in the entire Bible. I want you to turn to Psalm 22. This is a psalm of David. Now, let me put this in context for you. These words were written by King David 1,000 years before Jesus died on the cross. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Does that look familiar to you? In Aramaic, Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, David wrote a lot of things in the Psalms that would be a picture of the Messiah to come. But the Psalm that we're reading here, Psalm 22, is one of those Psalms they call purely prophetic messianic prophecy. Because some of the things that would happen to David would be a prophetic picture, a prophetic type of what would happen to Jesus, but there is absolutely no known event in the life of David that would correspond to this. This is pure prophecy. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Those words were written 1,000 years before Jesus died on the cross. They were not written by Romans. They were written by the Jewish King David. You really think those four Roman soldiers who've been studying Scripture? I don't think so. An amazing prophecy fulfilled in them. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment, my clothing among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. In other words, kind of like we would roll dice today. It was a system to decide who would win, like drawing straws. Then these things therefore the soldiers did. Now, protocol in the first century was for four soldiers and a centurion to supervise a crucifixion. That was just the way things were done. History records that for us. And usually the soldiers would divide up the clothing of the condemned, much like for centuries soldiers who go off to war will often bring home souvenirs. Maybe a canteen or a watch or a knife or a weapon or something of someone who has fallen on the battlefield. Our garage sales and things of that nature in America are, not as much anymore, but for years were filled with artifacts brought back from Europe and the Pacific Theater and other places in the war where soldiers had gone to fight and they had come upon their defeated foe and had relieved from them certain things as a sign of conquest or just out of interest as a souvenir. Roman soldiers did the same thing when someone was crucified. They would typically divide up that individual's clothing, anything that may be of worth, but they came to this robe that was without a seam. They say, you know what? Why would we want to rip up this robe that's perfectly good? Why don't we just cast lots for it, throw some dice for it, and then whoever wins will get to take the whole thing. Now, what they didn't know, what they could not have known, is what John tells us here, that they were actually fulfilling Scripture. These four soldiers have just nailed the Savior of the world to a cross. They've beat him. They've ridiculed him. They've mocked him. They stripped him of his clothes, and they've nailed him to a cross, an amazing prophecy fulfilled in them.